Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. Melody did take Friday off today, and it was a surprise to me, too, to this morning. But anyway, I'm so glad you're with us today, and I can't believe it's Friday already, but it is. It's 16 January, 16 December, excuse me, 2022. Getting ahead of myself here. I mean, it's going by fast enough without me speeding it up, isn't it? But welcome to today's program. You're listening, like I said, to Financial Survival. It's me today, and I do my best, the best I can to bring news to you with my opinions. And yeah, I do have opinions, folks, and I try to form them solidly around a Christian worldview. I don't go any other direction. I try to follow what the Word of God says. So if you want to hear anything other than what I understand the Scriptures to say and what the news I'm reporting, maybe we'll go somewhere else, because I don't play the liberal left by any means. But anyway, we'll get to the market today. We'll start off with gold. Gold was up a little day. 1770 to 1794.12. Silver was up 15 cents, 23.20. Platinum was down 750 to 994. And palladium was down $69 to 1714. So quite a drop there in the metals in two of them. And gold and silver are basically holding their own right now. As far as the markets go, the Dow was down 205.90 to 32.996. S&P was down 29.98 to 38.65. NASDAQ was down 68.70 to 10.741. And the foreign markets all were down but one. The DAX was down 0.67% to 38.93. FTSE down 1.27% to 7.332. Hang Seng was up 0.42% to 19,450. Nikkei was down 1.87 to 27,527. Oil was down $1.86 to 74.25. And USDX was up a little bit, 11 cents to 104.67. So there you go. Not a lot of change in any direction either way. So I guess you could say it's still holding their own all the way around. You know, silver metals are still not where they ought to be. But folks, that eventually is going to change. I know it is. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. It has to happen, because as the dollar keeps dropping in value and ceases being the world currency, it's going to make a big difference in the dollar, which is going to make metals go through the roof. We'll start off with some news headlines today. We'll get to the economic part in a minute, but this was interesting, at least to me, since I live in West Virginia, and one of our senators is Senator Manchin. Senator Joe Manchin was governor of the state for a total of 8 years. I met the man personally on 3-4 occasions, talked to him about different things we were trying to get done in the state. Nonetheless, at best, the man's a moderate. At best, he's a moderate, but he's now at least contemplating leaving the Democrats. He's been a Democrat all his life, but now he's contemplating maybe making a move. Manchin's response to reporters should scare the heck out of Dems. After asking Democratic West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin if he wanted to switch parties, a CNN reporter unearthed some potentially terrible news for Democrats. After Senator Sinema switched to the Republican Party, I thought she switched to independent, nonetheless, we'll go from there. All eyes are on Manchin. Both are more in line with conservative ideals and oppose Biden's liberal agenda. On Friday, December 9th, Arizona Senator Christine Sinema declared her independence from the Democratic Party. She will continue to serve on her current committees and caucus with Senate Democrats. The move shields Sinema from a primary challenge from Republican Ruben Gallego. During a press conference on Monday, Manchin declined the rule out leaving the Democratic Party. "I'll look at all other things, I'll look at every circumstance, and I have no intention of doing anything right now. Whether I do something later, I can't tell you what the future is going to bring," he said in response to a question from CNN's Manu Raju. "I'm not a Washington Democrat. I don't know what else to tell you. And if a Washington independent is, well, we'll see what happens there. We'll have to look. People are registering more for independent than the other party affiliation. They are sick and tired of it," he continued. Manchin's up for re-election 2024. Representing the nation's second reddest state, both Republican Representative Alex Mooney and Governor Jim Justice are considering running against the two-term senator. So we will see. Manchin is, again, at best a moderate, folks. I personally would not support him again because I don't even like moderates. Either you're for the right, and I don't mean the right versus left. You're either for right or you're out of my voting category. If you don't stand against murdering children, sodomizing, perverting their children, and other issues, and even spending issues, you're out of my territory there. Period. This story should break your heart. Ha ha. No, it doesn't. Denver mayor, we can't handle surge of migrants in our city. It's an emergency. On Thursday broadcast of CNN Tonight, Denver Mayor Michael Hancock said that Denver, which is a sanctuary city, has had to declare an emergency over the influx of migrants that has received that is straining the city's resources. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo. You said you're sanctuary city, honey bunch. Just let them come and get it. Just suck it up, buttercup, because here it comes. Hancock stated, I issued the declaration of emergency earlier today because we've seen a steady stream really over the last 6 days. We've seen over 472 people come to the city as we start to track the migrants after I activated our emergency operations center, just beginning to really stress our systems and really stress our financial condition in the city of Denver. Well, bless your little heart, honey. 472 people, a surge, huh? Won't you try 10, 20, 30,000 right on the border in cities like El Paso and other places? Won't you try that? Won't you move down there and tell us what a surge is? Sanctuary city. He added that the 472 number is just where we had the surge, and that's where we started counting because we activated the emergency operations center. Hancock continued, reality that is that we have over 700 migrants that have and asylum seekers that have come to our city over the last several months. The reality is that while we are trying to take care of those who are unhoused, and by the way, we know this is a challenge in cities all over the country in terms of our neighbors being unhoused, and we're also trying to house those who are coming to our transportation station in the city of Denver, we simply can't do both. It's stressing our system. It's stressing our shelters in the city of Denver. And so we've had to open up two of our recreation centers, actually three, take them offline to our tax-paying citizens to help those who are coming to our city as migrants and asylum seekers, as well as to make public calls for assistance with our partners, our nonprofits, and our faith leaders. So it is stressing our system. It is a challenge. It is a challenge time. But what we saw was not the continued trickle. We saw a surge happen where we saw anywhere from 60 to 110 people show up at this one time in one night. And that becomes a problem when we're trying to provide services to them. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. That's just so terrible. I just feel so sorry for this guy. I mean, gee. Open city for sanctuary. Let him come on in. Hey, I like it. Texas sends them, and I guess now Arizona's going to start sending them to places like Chicago, New York, and D.C. God bless them. Send them up there. Send them 30, 40,000 one time if you can. Hire some buses. Let me see what it feels like. U.S. government paid Catholic Charities $3 billion to traffic people across the U.S.-Mexico border. Uh-huh. Ben Bergwam, a patriot who's a Catholic, exposed Catholic Charities in McAllen, Texas, for trafficking people into the U.S. He said that Catholic Charities is a social justice organization tied to the undermining of America by the left. He said that the U.S. government has paid Catholic Church, and listen, folks, the Catholic Church over $3 billion for trafficking migrants. Bergwam reported cell phone data, showed that 71% of the illegal aliens are being delivered to Republican congressional districts by design, which he said is a crime. According to child advocate attorney Liz Ewer, Catholic Charities has received $97 million for trafficking unoccupied children in 2022. And folks, knowing the child molestation taking place inside the Catholic hierarchy in the churches, should that be a surprise? Knowing that the Child Protection Services are a big-time trafficker of children, should that be a surprise? I don't think so. U.S. Customs and Border data states that there are 266,000 unoccupied minor children who have crossed the U.S. border illegally. And she has said that these orphans have been dumped with sponsors who have not been vetted and are often illegal aliens. Sexual predators prey on vulnerable children. She compared that number to the 400,000 children already in foster care in the U.S. and says that health care, education, welfare systems will be destroyed by the additional population of children. Ewer said that the government is paying Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, and other NGOs a lot of money because they provide cover for the government, and the NGOs are not subject to freedom of information request. The cartels are making $13 billion per year on human trafficking and fentanyl. This figure is 2,500% increase over the profits they earned when Trump was in office. She called for whistleblowers to expose the scheme to the American people. She said that that the people are needed to pressure the churches to stop the exploitation of children. God bless you for telling the truth. Right on the money. Right down the line on the truth there. And we wonder why America's crumbling. My goodness. And again, we'll get on financial news, folks, but can you understand how all this is affecting us in every way possible, including financially? I know you can. Somebody's footing the bill for all this. When they paid the Catholic Church $3 billion, guess where that money come from? It didn't come out of their pockets. Biden didn't do it. Senate didn't do it. They billed it to us, folks, to molest, kill, and maim children with taxpayers' dollars. But it's been going on a long time. But now we're starting to see some of the people talk about it and standing up and saying this is enough. I think you should join that course also. Another non-economic, perhaps, issue, but nonetheless, taxpayers are paying for this, so I guess it is economic. Oklahoma transgender student charged for alleged assaults on two female students in school bathroom. A transgender student in Oklahoma has been charged for allegedly savagely attacking two female students in a school bathroom. The two female students were allegedly assaulted by the transgender-identifying male student in the girls' restroom at Edmond Memorial High School, Edmond, Oklahoma. According to Redux, which obtained a police report detailing the incident, the two female students were left with injuries after a fight initiated by the male. According to the report, the male entered the restroom and tried to talk to a group of females who ignored him. He then came at them with fists, asking if they wanted to fight, according to one of the victims. One of the female students suffered injuries to the face and head, including both eyes beginning to swell, according to the responding officer. She told the officer that she was not strong enough to fight back, and the male student forced her to the ground and began kicking her in the face and punching her. During the altercation, some of the others in the restroom were trying to get the male to stop the assault, with one student intervening. This student was also punched in the face by the male, suffering a possible concussion. Oklahoma passed a law earlier this year requiring that all public schools have single-sex restrooms and other facilities, and the students and staff must use these facilities in accordance to their actual biological sex. Well, I don't know why that's not being enforced. Do you? I mean, when will this be enough? When will it be enough? Yes, folks, your taxpayer dollars are paying for these schools. When will this be enough? when we get enough tired that we're going to say something about it, do something about it? When? We're going to start seeing students die in order to stop this? I don't know. Now we'll get down to some financial news. Goldman Sachs to lay off 4,000 people. Goldman Sachs, folks. Goldman Sachs plans to lay off as many as 4,000 employees as it struggles to meet profitability targets and retreats from its gamble on Main Street banking, people familiar with this matter said. Managers across the firm have been asked to identify low performers for what they could cut up to 8% of the workforce early next year, the people said, with some cautioning that no final list had been drawn up. Goldman Sachs is not making the profit they want. Folks, I've said many times, businesses have to make profits. And maybe some get a little greedy. I'm not going to say that, but they have to make a profit. And it's really their business what their profit goal is. If they can function with 4,000 employees and still keep the service up, I say good for them. I feel sorry for the employees, but this was called free enterprise. But Goldman Sachs is it's just what it is, okay? Grim, an imploding Washington Post. More bad news is coming from the imploding resistance force that calls itself the Washington Post, and I'm glad to see this batch go out. On Wednesday, Breitbart News informed you that the Washington Post, a far-left propaganda outlet devoted to spreading lies and conspiracy theories, has lost 500,000 subscribers since January 2021. This drops its subscription rate base to just 2.5 million. The Post also announced to its staff of entitled Resistant Babies on Wednesday that layoffs were coming to its 2,500-person workforce. No numbers were yet available on the layoffs. All we know is it will be in a single percentage, 1 to 9% of the current workforce. The response from the journalist elites was exactly what you'd expect from entitled babies. Washington Post, good riddance. Have a fun trip down the road. Good riddance. And this one, I can say the same thing about this one. Disney shares plummet, pushing Dow Jones Industrial Average to the worst loss in 3 months. The Walt Disney Company saw its stock plummet by nearly 4% on Thursday, helping to push Dow Jones Industrial Average to the biggest loss in 3 months. Shares of Apple also contributed to Dow's bloodbath, shedding 4.7% of their value. Disney shares dropped 3.9% during trading Thursday and continued to decline in after-hours trading. So far this year, the stock is down more than 42%. Another one, goodbye. Good riddance. I know. People say, well, that's Disney. We take a children every year. Shame on you. Shame on you. The place is full of perverts and sexual predators. You take your children down there. Oh, it's a pretty place to go. I'm not denying that. But if you ever watch some of their films and see what's on those films, really on those films, you never take your child there again or see another Disney movie as long as you live. The once venerated company is still reeling from its executive suite drama that saw the firing of CEO Bob Chapek and the return of former CEO Bob Iger following a disappointing quarterly earnings. Disney is facing their prospect of continued weak profitability through 2023 due in part to massive spending on streaming entertainment, which strained the company of $1.5 billion in the last quarter. You say, Pastor, you're hard. No, I'm really too easy. But maybe I'm one of the few that's willing to speak up and say this is what's happening. Parents need to pay attention to what's happening in schools, in places like Disneyland, Disney World. You need to pay attention. They're your children. You're responsible for them. What they learn, what they get involved in, is what you're responsible for. You make the decisions. I know that. But I'm going to tell you what's going on. You don't have to like it, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. That's where it stands. We're back. We're going to break, folks. Back at the break, a lot more to talk about. And I hope you stay with us the rest of the program. Listen, Financial Survival. You can call Melody at 800-375-4188. Don't go away. My buddy's got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Working for a living. Whoa, whoa.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Lost, radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they
used to be. All righty, folks, we are back, and I hope I haven't run a bunch of people off by putting up my information and my opinion that I see solidly based on scripture and common sense, both of which are really lacking in the general public today, is scriptural truth and common sense. It's just a sad thing, my friends. I know I'm getting to be an old man, older than most of y'all listening to the program, I'm sure, but to watch things deteriorate around you when it's just so insane, there's just things are happening that are so abnormal, so unbelievable, that it just kind of breaks your heart. Orange juice prices are rising. Florida orange production expected to fall to the lowest level in 80 years. Now, I know that's just one item. But, folks, one item here, one item there, one over there, it adds up pretty quick. The combination of extreme weather and the disease impacting citrus fruit is expected to drive down Florida's orange crop to its lowest level since before World War II, shrinking the state's already dwindling supply and promising to send orange juice prices even higher. In 2022 through 23 season, Florida expected to produce 20 million boxes of oranges, the Department of Agriculture said Friday. That will be 51% decline from the prior year and the smallest amount since the 1936-37 season. The paltry crop is a result of ongoing problems of citrus greening, a disease that has plagued Florida orange trees and squeezed supply for years, combined with the January freeze and the dual blows of Hurricane Ian and Nicole, explained Shannon Shipp, Executive Director of the Florida Department of Citrus, a state agency. The shrinking production in Florida could hurt consumers already dealing with the rising cost of groceries. The price of orange juice, which had already climbed considerably this year, will likely get even more expensive in the first half of 2023 as a result of these supply chain issues. But the orange juice growers who will likely pay the greatest price. That's true and that's sad. It's an incredibly heartbreaking moment for growers, Shep said, to grow a crop for 9 months and then watch it fall to the ground or watch trees blow over is incredibly devastating, she added. In a time when you're seeing declined production anyway, it's a kick in the gut. Yeah, you know, we complain about prices, and I understand why we do it. I do, too. But we need to think about the ones who are trying to raise these crops to make a living off of it. They're probably hurting a whole lot worse than a lot of us financially. We have to remember that farmers that can't grow crops can't pay their bills. And we don't really think much about that sometimes, I guess, because we're so wrapped up in our own little world, and I understand that. But we got to sometimes stop and consider the others out there that are ones trying to feed us are hurting worse than we are. U.S. vegetable prices. Now, this is more remarkable. Listen to this. U.S. vegetable prices increased by a whopping 38% in November. But they say inflation is under control. You're right. Mainstream media is trying really hard to convince all of us that inflation will soon be no longer be a problem. Meanwhile, food prices continue to soar to absolutely absurd levels. In fact, we just learned that vegetable prices increased by a whopping 38% in November. When I originally saw that number, I thought that must represent the change from 12 months ago. But that is not the case. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, vegetable prices jumped 38.1% from October to November, and they all total up to 80.6% over the past 12 months. Let me repeat that. They are up a total of 80.6% in the past year. A lot of you are still going to have a very difficult time believing that these figures are actually real. So I would encourage you to go to this official BLS website and see the numbers for yourself. This isn't a rumor. This is real. As you can see from this chart, egg prices are also going completely nuts. The price of eggs shot up 26% last month. Over the last 12 months, the price of eggs are up astounding 244%. The bird flu is the primary reason why egg prices become so expensive. Folks, just let that sink in. Egg prices went up in the past year 244%. Vegetables went up 80.6%. And we wonder why people's dollars are not taking care of them like they used to. There's something wrong, folks. When you see a country that has about 130 or so food-producing plants burned down, shut down, whatever, and farms in the Netherlands being shut down and by force, this is not a coincidence by any means. Call me a conspiracy theorist if you want to, or you don't care. But the weather's also been manipulated. And I can prove that, folks. Hey, I'm a Vietnam-era vet. I knew for a fact, because I was in the Air Force, that Operation Popeye took place during the Vietnam War. We made a raid of the Ho Chi Minh Trail trying to slow down their supply chain. Yeah, Operation Popeye, folks, was weather control. They started way back in the 50s, and not earlier. And they've really become a lot more sophisticated over the last 50, 60 years. So don't laugh when I say it's weather control. It's nothing new. What better way to bring people into subjection than to make them hungry, make them desperate for something to eat, then take away their dollars and give them a digital piece of trash that you control if they don't obey you? And tell them if you don't follow the rules, you'll lose your right to buy and sell. Well, that fits something I think the Bible says. What? Believe me, I am certainly not the brightest bulb in the house, but I can see this. Anyone who is anywhere near a thinking individual, someone who can take facts and figures and put them together and see what's happening so clearly, Anyone can look the facts can't really deny. They might argue with it and say it's not all true. You can be denied all you want to. It doesn't take a genius, though, to see these numbers and see what's happening and not understand what's going on. Now, this is old news, but I'll share it anyway. Israeli-based 3D printed lab-grown meat company is building the world's largest facility in North Carolina. An Israeli company that specializes in 3D printed lab-grown meat. Boy, that sounds so appetizing, so good for you. With non-GMO animal cells, is currently building the world's largest commercial-scale production facility in North Carolina. Believer Meat, formerly known as Future Meat Technologies, is building its facility with an initial planned investment of $123.35 million, located in Wilson County, North Carolina, which covers a site of 200,000 square foot, folks. 200,000 square feet. Wow. Believers Meat, a leading pioneer of the cultivated meat industry, officially broke ground today on its first U.S. commercial facility in Wilson County, North Carolina, the company said in a statement Wednesday. Once operational, the 200,000 square foot facility will be the largest cultivated meat production center in the world, with the capacity to produce at least 10,000 metric tons of cultivated meat without the need to slaughter a single animal. This is a watershed moment for the cultivated meat industry that will allow Believer Meats to meet growing demand for decades to come. We're pleased to welcome Believer Meats to North Carolina, said Governor Roy Cooper. Democrat, North Carolina. I don't know what to add to that. They're going to take a cell from a cow or a pig or a chicken, I guess, and make it help it grow in the lab. Something about that just kind of gives me the willies. This kind of makes you wonder. Will they soon start taking cells from people and growing people? Meat? I mean, you laugh if you want to. Cannibalism, folks, is already going to be a thing in this country. Oh, yeah, it is. Katy Perry sang a song about it. If you know that little whore on sings to Katy Perry, that little one that says she sold her soul to the devil. She made a song about that. Do what you say. Well, think what you want. It is what it is. But that is another way to control people. If they can't buy food, they'll have to buy what they can't buy what they want, because it's obviously going to be under control. Why would they not go ahead and force you to buy it or starve to death? Or why would people not be so afraid they'll have to buy it anyway? But talk about control. This side of the UK. Our climate lockdown is beginning. An English county will require permits to drive through other neighborhoods. Ever hear of, my mind's going to blank on the name, 2030 sustainable development that will take place for 2030, 7 years from now, what they want to do? You ever read about that? In early December, the county of Oxfordshire in England voted to begin intensely filtering traffic in certain parts of Oxford between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. This is slated to begin sometime in 2023 upon completion of some existing transportation projects. Right now, the local government says that there will be a six-month trial of using the filter system. At the end of that trial period, there will be a vote as to whether or not this should be continued. Six portions of Oxford will be restricted to from private vehicles only during this time period. Repeat that. Six portions of Oxford will be restricted from private vehicles during this time period. Residents can travel freely in their own areas. However, attempting to enter a different restricted area using a private vehicle will require a permit. Violators will be subject to fines of up to £70 or $85. So how are they going to enforce this? Contrary to some internet speculation, there are no plans to erect physical barriers. People will be allowed to walk, bike, or take public transportation wherever they want. Vehicle usage will be monitored with an automatic number plate recognition, ANPR, cameras, the same technology that has been around for more than 20 years to collect money remotely on all toll roads. The ANPR cameras will also enable the county to issue permits to private drivers who make a limited amount of trips within the city within a restricted time frame. Critics all the world, including Australia's Sky News host Rowan Dean, insist that this is a gross violation of freedom of movement and will lead us down the slope to a medieval world with autonomous nobility and peasantry tied to the land. This is the world today. This has been talked about for many years. 20, 30 years ago, folks, to do this. They want to have the world basically in sustainable communities where you'd be able to travel with them like a 15-minute ride or something within inside certain areas. And that's all. You'll have everything near you that you need, but you'll be able to travel outside these areas without permission. I just read one of them to you here. This is happening. As we speak, they're tightening the noose or shutting the gates behind us, so to speak. They run us down the chute like you do cattle and sheep. They load them into a loading dock, into a back of a truck, take off, be slaughtered. The chutes get narrower and narrower. But what are the people doing? I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They don't seem to be too upset about it as of yet. But will there ever be the point that they get tired of being put up with this nonsense? You tell me. What's going to be our limit? We're taxed already to death. Our finances are being destroyed. People like Melody and others are trying to help you prepare yourself for what's coming. Most people ignore that. They say, well, it'll never happen. And all the time they're saying this, it's happening. Why is it? What would it take to get our eyes open that makes us understand that we are being intentionally controlled, and who knows what will happen with the next pandemic? How many more will be slaughtered? Oh, yeah, we'll cover it in a little bit too if we have time. How many are going to be taken out of this world population to less than the world population where they want it? How long before we see this enough, say we've had enough? Now, maybe we can't stop it. Maybe not like in America. America's finished. As a nation, America's finished. America will never be America again. God's wrath on America is falling. It's falling more every day. But that doesn't mean we can sit back and do nothing and say nothing. Let's move on. Starbucks workers plan 3-day walkout to 100 U.S. stores. Starbucks workers around the U.S. are planning a 3-day strike starting Friday as part of their effort to unionize the coffee chain stores. More than 1,000 baristas at 100 stores are planning to walk out, according to Starbucks Workers United. The labor group organized the effort. The strike will be the biggest, longest since the year-old unionization campaign. The union says it expects the strike will shutter some stores entirely. At others, managers or other workers may help the stores keep the stores open. A message seeking comment was left with Starbucks Friday morning. This is the second major strike in a month by Starbucks U.S. workers. On November 17th, the workers at 110 Starbucks stores had a one-day walkout. That effort coincided with Starbucks' annual Red Cup Day, when the company gives reusable cups to customers who order a holiday drink. More than 264 of Starbucks' 9,000 company-run U.S. stores have voted to unionize since last year. Starbucks, the store that I will not spend $6-7 a cup of coffee. I won't spend a dime cup of coffee there because they're standing on murdering unborn children and they're standing on homosexuality and other perversions. I will not spend a dime at Starbucks. So if they just do what they want to do. I'm not supporting them either way. But they want to unionize. They have 9,000 stores across the country. Somebody's spending money there, obviously. But don't be, folks. Those are the morals I live by. Those are the standards I go by. I will not finance the destruction of unborn children in the minds and hearts and souls of children by this left agenda, the LGBTQ+ agenda. I won't do it. If you want to support them, you go right ahead. It's your call. Remember, payday's coming someday, folks, for everybody. Payday's coming. Back at the break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Melody took Friday off today, this weekend. I don't blame her. I really don't blame her. Bless her. I'm glad she can do that. She earned it. She's earned it. But you can give her a call at 800-375-4188. And, folks, I urge you to do that. I really do. I sincerely mean I do. 800-375-4188. And, you want to do what you can to prepare yourself as much as possible. Don't wait. Do it very quickly because time is getting... It's getting tougher. It truly is. You know, South Dakota's got a mayor. South Dakota's got a governor, a very pretty lady, highly intelligent lady, and she got some guts. I admire her for that. South Dakota legislatures take hard stance on the purchase of land by foreign entities. Bless their hearts. Legislators from South Dakota recently announced they shift to more intentionally scrutinize foreign purchases of farmland from investors in nations standing against the U.S., such as China. Foreigners in the state of South Dakota have increased their land holdings from roughly 307,000 acres, 307,000 acres in 2019 to well over 356,000 in 2020. Mean that international entities have now hold 0.9% of the agricultural land within the state. So Christian Noble, the legislature, said, we're going to watch a little closer who's behind this. With this new process, we'll be able to prevent nations who hate us, like communist China, from buying up our state's agricultural land, she explained in a press release. We cannot allow the Chinese Communist Party to continue to buy up our nation's food supply. So South Dakota will lead the charge on this vital national security issue. Christian Noem, I know you have no idea who I am, but I'd like to shake your hand and thank you for your courage. I really would. I truly would. I wish I had more men that had the nerve you got and the common sense you have. I truly mean that. That is wonderful. This is in the U.K. And folks, when I read these next couple articles, I mean, I want you to stop and think what this is will be like, and it's coming to America, too. Energy firms urge people to turn off the electricity for a couple of hours tonight as snow blankets UK. Energy firms have urged people to turn off their electricity for a couple of hours tonight amid the freezing weather conditions. Customers will be asked to limit their use of electricity and gas for 2 hours after temperatures plummeted as low as minus 15.6 degrees Celsius, by the way, which is 3.92 degrees Fahrenheit, about 4 degrees. The National Grid is running a planned test, which will see households paid to cut their energy use between 5 and 7 p.m., the period in which record prices are expected during peak demand hours. Octopus Energy, Drax, and Aon are taking part in this scheme in a bid to avoid potential blackouts throughout the rest of the winter months. So far, National Grid's electricity system and operator, Wing, has run for 1 hour trials of the so-called demand flexibility service, but tonight they will mark the first two-hour session. Households and businesses which to reduce electricity consumption will be paid for every unit they do not use. Good for them. Good for them. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, if they can do that, that's good if they can save electricity. But can you imagine, folks, it's going to be hard on the people, especially them that have no alternative heat. Wow. Fresh missile barrage leaves cities across Ukraine without power or water in sub-zero temps. Folks, you know where I stand on the idea of the Ukrainian-Russian war, and I, you know who I said started it. It wasn't Russia. But when I read these articles, I still think about the people in Ukraine and anyone that's involved in this war, any other war, actually, but especially this time of year. It's wintertime over there, too. Another wave of massive Russian attacks on energy infrastructure. Ukraine's energy minister, German Galashchenko, announced Friday, describing a large Russian barrage of dozens of missiles across major cities. There will be emergency power outages, he added. Air raid sirens have been blaring throughout the day in the latest wave of strikes, which resulted in electricity and water outages in multiple cities and towns amid sub-zero temperatures. Commander of Ukraine Armed Forces General Valery Zalzinsky tallied that Russia launched 76 missiles at critical infrastructure throughout the country. He then claimed that NATO air defenses were able to intercept and down a whopping 60 of the missiles. More attacks rocked in the capital as well. Due to the damage to energy infrastructure, there are interruptions to water supplies in all areas of the capital, a statement by Mayor Vitaly Kachinko indicated. City authorities temporarily halted metro lines in order to provide a place for residents to take cover underground while the attacks ensued. Ukraine's second-largest city, Kharkiv, is also completely without electricity. Repeat that, folks, completely without electricity. As are the central cities of Poltava and Kremenchuk, among others. Yurinenko, the national electric utility, said that this has forced the country into a continued rationing situation as energy crews work around the clock. We ask for your understanding regarding the power outages and temporary water and heat supply interruptions. A statement from President Zelensky's office said, I don't care whose fault it is. The people didn't do it. The ones sitting at home freezing in their own homes didn't do it. They had nothing to do with it. They're not to blame for this war. No more than you and I are. Except that we tolerate it when the Americans do this and push this by electing the same people back in office over and over again. But we didn't go out and start causing this situation. Neither did Ukrainian citizens cause this situation. But you can imagine, I don't know where you live. You may live down south in Florida and it's 80 degrees in there now. But up in the hills, West Virginia, it's starting to get cold. Up in the northern plains, they're getting walloped with feet of snow. If I can imagine not having heat in the house. And most places in most countries have left the burning of wood and coal for heat. They went into something more convenient, and they're paying for it now. These people need prayers, folks. They do. A Biden admin official recently told members of Congress that Ukraine has a military capability to take back Crimea. No offensive is imminent, but officials worry that a large-scale attack that threatens Russia's hold on the peninsula could push Putin to use nuclear weapons. A Biden administration official recently told members of Congress that Ukraine has the military capability to retake Crimea, but some officials are concerned by any large-scale offensive that threatens Russia's hold on the peninsula could push Vladimir Putin to use nuclear weapons, say the two U.S. officials familiar with the matter. The late November Ukraine briefing to some members of the Congress included discussion of the reasons Ukraine will continue to need U.S. weapons and equipment for the foreseeable future. The two officials said Biden's official, when asked during the briefing about continuous support for Ukraine, our military, and whether it would try to retake Crimea, responded, Ukraine now has the ability to take it back. Well, that could be. I don't know. Very well could be. But how much more is going? We're just going to. I really can't say, folks. But I would like to thank the people that are supposed to be involved in this have enough sense to see what this could do if this isn't stopped soon. I'd like to think that I really would. Death of data of 72 million insured shows sudden and unexpected deaths exploded in Germany. That's right, folks. Thanks to COVID, and more's coming. Not just COVID, more's coming, believe me. All the world, but Germany is finally coming up with the figures to prove it. This is an explosion report out of Germany showing a massive increase in sudden deaths followed by COVID vaccines that has not received much exposure in the alternative media yet because the sources are all in the German language. Pierre L. Grosselin of the No Trick Zone blog has provided an English report of the data. Thanks to Henry Macau for including this in a daily report. The report shows a four-fold increase in sudden deaths following the introduction of COVID vaccines in Germany compared to previous years. A four-fold, 4% increase in sudden deaths since they introduced the COVID vaccine. Not bad, huh? Not bad. Come on. Don't worry about it. It's very good. But then on the bright side of this, opposition to school vaccine mandates has grown significantly, study finds. For a generation of most American families, getting children vaccinated was just something to check off on the list of back-to-school chores. But after the ferocious battles over COVID shots of the past 2 years, seeming resistance to general school vaccine mandates has grown significantly. Now, 35% of parents oppose requirements that children receive routine immunizations in order to attend school, according to a new survey released Friday by the Kaiser Family Foundation. All the states and District of Columbia mandate that children receive vaccinations against measles, mumps, rubella, and other highly contagious deadly childhood diseases. Most permit a few limited exceptions. Throughout the pandemic, the Kaiser Foundation, a nonpartisan healthcare research organization, have been issuing monthly reports on changing attitudes toward COVID vaccines. The surveys have shown a growing political divide over the issue, and their latest studies indicate a division now extends to routine childhood vaccinations. Praise God. People getting their eyes open. I wish I'd known about that before I had my children vaccinated, folks. I didn't know, so I did it. I regret it, but I did it. I didn't know. If I knew what I know now, it certainly would not be happening right now. And people in California, get ready, because here it comes. Here it comes. Comply, or it's going to be a serious backlash. Activists demanding $800,000 for every black resident issues warning to California Reparations Task Force. It's coming, California, and just coming nationwide, I'm sure. An activist has warned California's Reparations Task Force that there will be a serious backlash if they do not comply with his demands for more than $800,000 to be handed out to black residents. Deion Jenkins told the first meeting of the task force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans that money given to black people in California should be in line with the average price of a home in the state, around $800,000. Following that appearance at the public hearing in Oakland City Hall on Wednesday, Jenkins, who refers himself as a hip-hop organizer, said in an interview, either they're going to comply or it's going to be a serious backlash. Would you call that a threat? And California probably caved into it. Since 2021, the first of its kind in the nation's task force has been delving into history and studies to make its case for reparations to California descendants of enslaved black people. The group has until July 1st before they have to make decisions on reparations. Wow. Wow. Oh, my. I know you taxpayers in California can afford that. I mean, what's $800,000? I mean, what's almost $1 million per black person? I mean, well, who would need that kind of money anyway? That's a drop in the bucket, right? No big deal. Oh, police protect town by arresting elderly women for feeding stray cats, neutering them, and getting them adopted. This is Alabama, folks. I just want to very quickly say that these two ladies, one is 80 some years old, one's 61 years old, one's 85, one's 61, were catching cats, had them take them in, have them neutered, and then give them away to homes. And they got arrested for that because they said you can't feed cats in public, although there's no law against it. This is America today. Arrest two old ladies for trying to stop the cat population multiplying by taking them out, giving them homes, having them neutered, paying for themselves, and they're in prison. And we're going to wrap it up with some good news. Liquor store worker gives homeless man the shoes off her feet. A liquor store worker who gave her shoes to a man who was walking with boxes on his feet had been gifted a brand new pair of shoes in return. Talina Thomas, known as Ace, was working her shift at Brooklyn Center Liquor in Minnesota when a homeless man came in the store looking for boxes. We all know that December in Minnesota can be a very cold time of year. A homeless man came in looking for boxes he could use as makeshift shoes. The owner of the store wrote in a Facebook post. Thomas called after the man, took off the shoes on their feet, and gave them to him. This was just a regular old pair of shoes. Ace, being a Minnesota Vikings fan, had her favorite pair of purple Nike Air Jordans, which he gave to the man with zero hesitation, the owner of the store said. This is a true example of empathy, compassion, and holiday cheer. We can all appreciate a story like this during the holiday season. Folks, you can appreciate a story like this during any season. That's phenomenal. That's beautiful. I love it. I like to close these stories, if I can, on Friday, because it kind of gives you a little warm feeling that people actually care. I don't have much use for liquor stores, but the one that run that one had a heart for a man who was wearing boxes on his feet in wintertime in Minnesota, and took off her own shoes and gave it to the man. Thankfully, I guess her foot being enough fitted to fit his foot. I think that's a marvelous story. People, no matter how bad things get, don't forget to love and care for each other. Family, friends, whatever. Strangers. If you can help them, please. And call Melody up and prepare yourself, and for yourself and your family, and maybe your friends also prepare. 800-375-4188. Don't take a chance of your family going hungry if you can help it. Please don't do that. 800-375-4188. And prayerfully, I'll be back with you Monday with Melody. We'll be with me, I think, on Monday. And I hope that I've done something to give you some more wisdom and knowledge on some things and lift your spirits a little bit. We do care. I'll see you later. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.